The Three Musketeers. If you don't know who the Three Musketeers were, they were companions. They were always together. Where you found one, you found the other two. Well, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul lists the three musketeers of the Christian life. Joy, prayer, thankfulness. He says, be joyful always. Pray without ceasing. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just as where you found one musketeer, you find the other two, here in this passage, where you find joy, prayer, and thankfulness, you find them all together. There are other passages in Scripture that bundle these three attributes together. And these three short commands allow us to pinpoint activities that characterize the life of every Christian. As you may look at the flag and it waves in the wind. The wind is an indication, or the waving of the flag is an indication of the presence of the wind. Prayer, joy, thanksgiving shows us the presence of the Holy Spirit in one's life. But for our purposes this morning and for the next several weeks, I want to focus on prayer itself. Musketeer number two, so to speak. Prayer. The biblical pattern is that private prayer is the birthmark of a true child of God. It is the pulse of a Christian. It distinguishes the presence of the Holy Spirit. It indicates spiritual life. This is evident from the fact that Christ commands it. Notice, he didn't say, if you pray, but he says, when you pray. If for no other reason to pray, the fact that Jesus has commanded it should be enough reason to pray. Because Jesus commands nothing of us unless it is good, unless it is beneficial for us, unless it is to the glory of God. But not only does Jesus command it, but the apostles command it. We have seen many scripture verses this morning. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. He writes to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. In his letter to the Colossians, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. All three of these passages are directed at our personal prayer life. You know, when we come to church or we in a Bible study, we may pray collectively. And that's good. We need to do that as a church or as a family or as a Bible study group. But in those times where we are together and we are praying, prayer is kind of imposed upon us, you see, because that is part of the worship service, because that is part of the Bible study, because that is part of the family devotion. Prayer is kind of imposed upon us instead of it being a personal desire to commune with God. But private prayer, prayer that is without ceasing. You see, it's the choice of love. It is the hungering and thirsting to commune with the one that you love. It is the personal and deliberate choice to hold the hand of God. And therefore, since it is commanded by Christ, the neglecting of private prayer is sinful. It is a sign that something's not right in our life. Because the neglecting of private prayer is the sin of omission. Just think about it. If you were to sit down and have to confess your sins, and you were to write a list of the sins that you think that you have committed, how many of us would list the neglect of prayer as one of the sins in our life? You see, our consciences very easily convict us for sins of commission, things that we do against the Ten Commandments. But not only do the Ten Commandments call upon us to do things, but they also call upon us to not do some things. And so a sin of commission is that whereby we go and break God's law. We do something. But a sin of omission is where we leave off something that God has commanded us to do. And one of those is the neglect of private prayer. The neglect of private prayer argues for hatred to Jesus Christ. It is a sin of omission. Just think about it. If two people were to live in the same house, but they never spoke to one another. They live in the same house, but they don't ever speak to one another. Now, would that argue a great love for one another, or would it argue a hatred for one another? Well, it's in God that we move, live, and have our being. As a matter of fact, you cannot even take a breath. You can do absolutely nothing. You can't even take a breath. You cannot have even a single heartbeat without God sustaining you. But yet, we don't have communion with Him in prayer. You see, that argues not for a closeness to Christ, but a hatred for Christ. And those who do not have a time of private prayer, it could be that it's a sign of being unregenerate, meaning that you've never been born again, that you have no part of Christ. We would judge that somebody who lived in open sin, drunkenness or adultery or murder, someone who is continually doing these types of sins, we would argue that they're not born again. But you see, those are sins of commission. But sins of omission, like the neglecting of private prayer, is just as sinful. It is just as evil. And so it argues then, not only are we estranged from Christ, but it argues, the lack of private prayer argues then that we may not even be regenerate, that we're not even in the kingdom. We get this and we understand this from the scriptures themselves. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about the unregenerate, those who are outside the kingdom of God. There is no one who seeks after God. Prophet Isaiah, no one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. Prophet Zephaniah, those who turn back from following the Lord neither seek the Lord nor inquire of Him. You see, all of these statements are statements about the non-Christian, those who are outside the kingdom of God, those who are unregenerate. And what is common to all of those people outside the kingdom of God is that none of them call upon God. None of them pray. What is common to all non-Christians is that they do not seek the Lord in prayer. Now, some non-Christians, I mean, by common grace, they may be a good neighbor to you, okay? They may be a good citizen. You may even vote for them. But the heart can be hardened by sins of omission, just as it can be by sins of commission. And the lack of private prayer in a person's life is a sign of hatred towards God, and possibly that the individual is not even born again. I'll give you an example. Both of my parents are deceased, but I grew up in a football family. My dad was a coach. My sister was a cheerleader. My brother-in-law was the captain of the football team. And of course, I played football myself. And then there was my mom. As long as my dad was coaching, as long as my sister was a cheerleader, as long as Greg was on the field playing, my mom was there for every game. But you know what? She didn't love it. She was there to support her husband. She was there to support her daughter. She was there to support her son. But as soon as my dad stopped coaching, as soon as my sister graduated from high school, as soon as Greg graduated from high school, my mom didn't go to another single game. You see, before, as long as the rest of the family was participating, she participated as well. But her heart wasn't there. Her heart wasn't there. She didn't love the game. We gather for worship, and part of our worship is prayer. We gather for Bible study. Part of that is prayer. But when you escape and you're not under the eyes of everybody else, do you pray? If you don't, it's because you don't love the activity. You don't love the one who you are talking to and who will talk to you. You participate as long as people's eyes are upon you, but as soon as you get off to yourself, what is your prayer life like? And just as prayerlessness is a sure sign of being unregenerate, prayerfulness is a sign of those who love the Lord. The scriptures say as soon as Paul was regenerated, as soon as he was converted there on the road to Damascus, the first news we hear of him is that he's praying. Like a newborn baby cries out, those who are born of God, they cry out to God. This is the character of the true saints. Listen to King David. This is the generation of those who seek Him. Notice what He says. This is the generation. This is the people. This is the group of those who seek Him. And then He's going to give a description of their activity. This is the generation of those who seek Him. They will call on His name. The prophet Zechariah says that God will pour out His Spirit on the house of David, meaning that God is going to pour out His Spirit on the church, on His people. And the prophet says, and it will be a spirit of supplication. You know what a spirit of supplication is? It's a spirit of prayer. The prophet is saying that when God pours out His Spirit upon His church, the result will be that the church will pray and that individuals will go into their closet and pray. The Holy Spirit is going to move the people of God to begin to pray. You ever been in that situation where, you know, you don't know what to pray for? I mean, you're at your wit's end and you just don't know what to say. And you just say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinful man. See, that's the moving of the Holy Spirit, compelling you to pray. As a matter of fact, God works through His church. And when He wants the church to engage in something specific, the Holy Spirit is sent to burden people to begin to pray about it. And when they pray about it, God answers them. The Holy Spirit is given to move you and empower you to prayer. In other words, God doesn't have any tongue-tied children. They all cry, Abba, Father. And this has been the practice of the saints. King David says in Psalm 5, My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Again, King David writes, Evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. Now think about this. David is a king. He's a king. He's got a lot going on in his life. The man's busy. He's running the kingdom. He's got military issues, financial issues, political issues. The man is busy. He can't cram in one more thing. His agenda is full. Yet what do we hear him saying? Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and God will hear my voice. Ain't nobody more busy than King David was. Yet he knew the importance of prayer. There may be days that you think, ain't nobody more busy than me. When you have those days, you need to stop right there. Stop it. And you need to pray. You need to pray. Because it was through prayer that David's kingdom expanded. It's through prayer that the kingdom of God will expand. Verse 10, there in the Lord's Prayer is, Your kingdom come. Jesus, we're going to cover this. Jesus says you need to pray that. So when you're busy, You need to take time for prayer. Another busy man was Cornelius. He was a Roman centurion. He had a lot of military men underneath him. He was given many responsibilities. But the scriptures say that while he was praying, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "I have heard your prayers." And then what we see happening is that as Peter was praying, the angel of the Lord appeared to Peter and said, "I want you to go over here and talk to this guy named Cornelius." They were both praying at the same time. And they ended up together. Peter shared the gospel with Cornelius and everybody in his household. Romans, Greeks, people that the Jews were not supposed to talk to. But as they prayed, the Holy Spirit brought them together. Peter shared the gospel with Cornelius and his household, and they believed. And we see this happening all through the scriptures. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all the apostles. There is not one saint that we find recorded in all the scriptures that does not indicate that they were people of prayer. They were all people of prayer. And then, of course, the supreme example in the scriptures is our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 14. "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain alone to pray." Mark chapter 1. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and went into a solitary place, and there he prayed." Here's something neat. We know Jesus Christ is the God-man. He's fully God and he's fully man. He was a man of prayer. He's also the God of prayer. And as the man of prayer and the God of prayer, he's going to teach us how to pray. See, a true Christian can no more live without private prayer than a person can live without food and water. If you love someone, you're not going to be strangers to them. You can't be long out of the company of the people that you love. Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha, and that's why he was always time going over to their house. He loved being with them. Surely those who love God will always want to be going to the house of God. But they will also be going to the house of God as they enter into their closet, close the door, and have private communion with the Lord. Do you pray without ceasing? Or have you ceased praying? Let me tell you this. And this should be an encouragement. If you think prayer is an easy thing, then you're not praying. If you think prayer is an easy thing, then you're not praying. Prayer is hard. It is difficult. There's a million distractions that the evil one will try to bring to keep you from going to the Lord in prayer. But true prayer, true communion with Christ in prayer, it's a difficult thing. Yet, it is what we are called to. Do you have a sweet hour of prayer that calls you from a world of care? true Christian, one who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of supplication, will seek to commune with their Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for